So today we have very good fortune of having His Grace Shamik Rishi Prabhu. He's a Prabhupada disciple and an initiating guru. And he will be enlightening us on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Verse Number 3 onwards. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving us your valuable time and association. Please take over the call. Thank you.
Thanks to all of the assembled Vaishnavas for giving me this opportunity to read Srimad Bhagavatam in front of you. Bhagavatam is the essence of life. If we read or hear every day, naturally we develop love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this our human life. So we should take this very seriously. There is no other process other than studying Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing or reading, and also chanting. These two processes are the most potent. When Lord Krishna left this planet, and then Uddhava was praying that where people would be able to take shelter, now you are going. So he told that if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then I will put all my potency in the Bhagavatam, in the pages of Bhagavatam. So you will be able to contact me in one way or another by just reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a completely Amal Puran, and we should read every day. And thank you for giving me opportunity to read this today. So we'll be reading this. Dhruva Maharaj is leaving home. So text number 3. Tayo samabhava lobho nishkratischa mahamate tabhyam krodasya hinsacha yadu ukti swasa kalihi. Maitreya told Vidur, O great soul, from Dambha and Maya were born greed and nikriti, or cunning. From their combination came children named Krodha, anger, and Hinsa, envy. And from their combination were born Kali and his sister, Durukti, harsh speech. Om Agyanti Mirandashya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Istapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsya. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute, Tapta Kanchana Gavarangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Haripriye, Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prem Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gorutushe Nama, Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya, Krapasendo Bevacha, Patita Nam, Pavanebhyo, Vishnavebhyo, Namo Nama, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gaurava Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshtarine, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this description means before coming to the Dhruva Maharajas and his activities of his leaving the forest and having the darshan of his guru as well as the Supreme Lord. So that is the narration. But there are many sons of Brahma. There are not only Kumaras, Narad, Ribhu, Hansa, Aruni, but they did not get married and they were nastic brahmacharis that you have already read on the first verse. Urdhvareta means they raise their semen rather than discharging it. They raise to the brain and they become very much self-realized by doing that activity. So in this particular verse, there is lineage of the adharma. So even brother and sister, they were getting married. That is adharma. So Brahma not only had devotees born, but also all kinds of generations. They were born living beings. They were born from Brahma. So like adharma was also born from him. So adharma and mrsha. Adharma is irreligion and mrsha is falsity. So they got married and they and their children were Dambha and Maya. Maya is illusion. Dambha means bluffing to others. So and their children was Lobha and Nikriti. Nikriti is coming and Lobha means greed. And from them came their combination from them, Krodha, anger and Hinsa, envy, violence that arise. And from Kali was also son of Krodha, anger and Hinsa. Means Kaliyu, that is the symptom of Kali Yuga is that there is always exploitation, there is always that you don't have together, like you don't agree on anything, and quarrel and hypocrisy. So Kali means quarrel. Kali Yuga means quarrel, and harsh speech is there, and from combination of Kali and Durukti came Mrityu, that is the death, and also Bhiti, that one becomes very fearful in the material world. And from the combination of Mrityu and Bhiti or fear came Yatna, excessive pain, and Niraya, that is hell. So after describing the impious descendants of Adharma, Maitreya is now eager to describe the pious activities of Dhruva Maharaj, the most pious king. So that will be described, and so we will read text number 4. Duruktao kalira adhatta bhayam mrityum cha sattama tayoshya mithunam yagye yatana nirayastata. O greatest of all good men, by the combination of Kali and harsh speech were born the children, them the Mrityu and Bhiti, fear. From the combination of Mrityu and Bhiti came children named Yatna, excessive pain, and Niraya. Niraya means hell. And the next verse is Sangra. So in that, so from Brahma, because they were not following Vedic injunction, how to behave, so they were getting married to their own sisters. You may say it is highly heinous, but they have no knowledge. Like people in this country before Srila Prabhupada came, had no knowledge that meat eating is sinful. It is killing a soul. Or we are the spirit soul, not this body. That was even is not known even today to millions of people. So that is very much necessary to spread this consciousness. And only Bhagavatam is the answer. If people hear Bhagavatam, then they could evolve, or they could understand what is our position, why we are here, why we are suffering, why there is fear of death, why we have to die when we are a spirit soul, immortal, amrit. Soul is amrit. It cannot be killed or death. So why we are dying? So all these questions, and we will discuss about this, the various topics. So text number 5, Sangrahena maya khyata prati sargasta vanaga trihi srutvaita puman punyam vidunotyatmano malam. My dear Vidur, I have summarily explained the causes of devastation. One who hears this description 3 times attains piety and washes the sinful contamination from his soul. So what Prabhupada is writing, that if we hear all this, that how they got married, what happens. So if we see that there's so much problems are there in the material world, the death and bhiti and yatna, excessive pain, and we go to hell and there we suffer like anything, and all this growth and why envy and why these are happening. If we contemplate on this, then we will try to get out of this. But if we think it's all nice, everything is all good, hell and heaven is all here, we are the body, let us enjoy the senses, then naturally we have to suffer all these reactions, fear, death, getting bodies again and again, coming into this sansar. So by these verses, one can learn this. So my dear Vidur, I have summarily explained the causes of devastation. One who hears this description 3 times attains piety. So this is the, if you hear, if you have to, like 3 times, then all our sinful activity will go away. So what to say? By hearing this bad propensity or demonic propensity, and we get purified, because these are from the pages of Bhagavatam. And if you somehow contact Bhagavatam, even touch it, just see the pictures, read even half verse, quarter verse, one word, you get purified, because Krishna is here. So the creation takes place on the basis of goodness, but devastation takes place because of irreligion. That is the way of material creation and devastation. So one may say that there won't be any devastation. Yes, devastation for the soul would not be there, because soul will elevate to the spiritual kingdom where he really belongs to. So devastation is there because of the irreligion. Here it is stated that cause of devastation is adharma or irreligion. So one has to distinguish what is dharma and what is adharma. Dharma means what is described by Lord Krishna, the way to act, behave, how to live, and everything, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, which are needed, but how to do it, and what is the proper process. So as a human being, we can learn all this properly from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Manu Samhita, Bhagavad Gita, And ultimately, one should reach to a spiritual master and ask proper questions and learn from him also. So the descendants of religion and falsity, born one after another, are bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, harsh speech, death, fear, severe pain and hell. All these descendants are described as signs of devastation. So even you may say that there is not destruction of whole universe or there are different kinds of devastation we talked last time. But still for us it is a devastation. For the person, because anything if you are suffering then you say it's hell is better or let me die. So people want to die when they suffer from so much pain or so much disease, so much breathing problem. Just yesterday I had to run to hospital because I had such a severe asthma. So I wanted to get a chest x-ray and had some treatment. But anyway, still the suffering, then one thinks that let me go, let me just die, why I'm leaving? Or from separation from our loved one, or damage of like so much wealth or prestige or position. Or so many things are here that really causes lot of suffering. It's a more severe, painful than death itself. So people kill themselves as far. But this suicide is also not the way of getting out. Only the way of getting out is really bhakti. And that is what is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam tells us the story, the Bhagavat Mahatmya, that how Bhakti Devi, who was born in Dravid or South India, she came to Andhra Pradesh and she was enlivened. But when she came to Maharashtra also little bit, she was enlivened. But when she came to Gujarat, then she was quite much depressed. And her children, because people are more very opulent, but more materialistic also at the same time. So whatever it is there by the arrangement of the Lord, one should use everything in the service of the Lord. And unless there is a love for the Lord and service to the Lord, all the opulence, all the greatness that goes away. So bhakti became very morose, depressed, and became like an old lady. But then she came to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, her both children, like they were already old. Like children was Jnana and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment. So these two became very old. And now in Vrindavan, she became young. And because of the atmosphere, because of the place, because of Yamuna River and pastimes of the Lord are there, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. But she was very much worried about her children. So Narad Muni comes there, and then Narad Muni sees, and she becomes very happy that by Vyasadeva was very depressed after even writing all the Vedas and all the Puranas, 17 Puranas and Upanishads, and but still he was not happy. Then Narad Muni told him that you hear, describe about the glories of the Supreme Lord. So he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we could be enlivened and could be very happy in this mortal world and ultimately go back to Krishna's abode where we all belong to in loving service of the Supreme Lord. So that is, so Bhagavatam must be heard. So Narad Muni, then he goes, where I should hear? So he goes to different places and he tries to ask many, many rishis and munis how I can enliven these two children. But somehow everybody told that no, it is not possible that they will be revived back. You went all over the... So he traveled all over the universe. And even different demigods or different... they could not really tell what to do. So then all of a sudden, Sanak Sanatan Sanandan Sanat Kumar, they came and asking Narad Rishi, why you are wandering here and there? What is the cause? And he narrated everything that how this Bhakti Devi is not really very happy because of condition of her sons. They are in Vrindavan and I to promise them that I will enliven her and her children would become youthful again. So he told that I heard from this Sanak Sanatan Sanandan from Brahmaji, and they heard, Brahmaji heard from Sheshnag, all these Bhagavatam pages from thousands of hoots, and Sankarshan also told this. So in this way he tells, and then they say that people whoever hears, and people who have a little bit sensitivity or a little bit pious activity, piety means serving the Vaishnavas, or they have that Agyat Sukriti, without knowing this, not Punya or Pap, they will be attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. So they started a satra, and so many rishis, Vedas, the rivers, personification, and so many people, they come from all over the universe. And they assembled, And Sanat Sanatana started narrating this Srimad Bhagavatam, and just by the sound vibration of Bhagavatam, from all the way from Vrindavan, Bhakti and her two children, Gyan and Vairagya, they came and they become enlivened to hear this. So we could also have the same effect, and we are reading this Bhagavatam every day, which is very, very nice, very essential, and one must partake in this. So these descendants were described. So if a person is pious and hears about these causes of devastation, he will feel hatred for all this, and that will cause his advancement in a life of piety. Piety refers to the process of cleansing the heart, like Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, Shreya Chan, Kairava Chandrika Vitranam, Vidyavadhu Jivanam, Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipadam, Purnamrata Swadhanam, Sarvatmisnapanam, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So reading Bhagavatam is also Sankirtan. Chanting is together, but reading Bhagavatam together, somebody is narrating, somebody hearing, it is also Sankirtan. But only those people who have certain heaps of piety, they would be able to hear and relish it. Heaps of piety means agyat sukriti, not a pious activity per se, like giving some roti, kapada, makan, but serving a Vaishnava, helping them, helping the temple, donating for building the temple, or inviting people to come for katha, or facilitating this katha. They are all important part of our life. So yes, recommended by Lada Chaitanya, one has to cleanse the dust from the mirror of the mind. So by hearing Bhagavatam or chanting, both our cleanses our heart of all the contamination that has been accumulated for many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes. And in that way, the advancement on the path of liberation begins. Here also the same process is recommended. Malam means a contamination, mal. We should learn to despise all the causes of devastation, beginning from irreligion and cheating, and then we shall be able to make advancement in a life of piety. The possibility of our attaining Krishna consciousness will be easier, and we shall not be subjected to repeated devastation. Because people in mode of Rajo-Tamo-Guna, most of the people are in Rajo-Guna and Tamo-Guna, so they have to rise beyond this Rajo-Guna and Tamo-Guna and come to Shuddha-Sattva, and then from Shuddha-Sattva, by hearing Bhagavatam, you could become Shuddha-Sattva, means completely, fully transcendental, fully sattva, that means a mode of goodness. Not just plain mode of goodness, has other there is tamogun and rajogun is also there. It is a mixture, but in Shuddha Sattva there is no mixture. It's completely transcendental. The possibility of our attaining Krishna consciousness will be easier from when we come to the Shuddha Sattva. And we shall not be subjected to repeated devastation. The present life is repeated birth and death. But if we seek the path of liberation, we may be saved from repeated suffering. So we will read up to verse number 8. So Maitreya continued. So text number 6 is, Athata kirtaye vansham punya kirte kurudvah swayambhu vasyapi manor harer ranshansa janmanah. Maitreya continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, I shall now describe before you the descendants of Swayambhu Manu, who was born of a part of the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Brahma is powerful, expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although Brahma is Jiva Tattva. So Brahma is a post, and he is a Jiva Tattva. Anybody who does this Varnashram Dharma, follows for 100 times in human form of life, then he becomes eligible to take the post of Brahma. Like Indra is Shatakratu. If one does Ashwamedh Yajna 100 times, Shata means 100, Kratu means the one who performs the yajnas, then he can take the post of Indra. That's why whenever somebody doing Ashwamedh Yajna, Indra tries to steal horses or disturbs the yajna, like he did for Prathu Maharaj, Sagar Maharaj and others. So, but he wants to maintain his position, which is not good, which is enviousness. So Brahma could be a Jiva Tattva, but Shiva, Durga is not a, Durga is the name, Shiva is the name, but Brahma is not the name. Brahma is a post. And when that comes, so I will tell you about that, how Brahma could be the personality of Godhead. Let me read this purport. Sometimes it happens that when there is no suitable living being to be empowered to act as Brahma, the Supreme Lord himself appears as Brahma. Brahma is the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Swayambhu Manu was the direct son of Brahma. The great sage Maitreya is now going to explain about the descendants of this Manu, all of whom are widely celebrated for their pious activities. Before speaking of these pious descendants, Maitreya has already described the descendant of impious activities, representing anger, envy, unpalatable speech, quarrel, fear and death. Purposely, therefore, he is next relating the history of the life of Dhruva Maharaj, the most pious king within the universe. So, Brahma's son is Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa, they were all born from Brahma. They were both married. And then their descendant, then there is Swayambhu Manu, and then there were Maharaj Uttanapad and Maharaj Privrat, two sons. Very, very elevated. They are also like not like direct expansion of Krishna, but they were given empowered by the Supreme Lord. Like Srila Prabhupada is empowered. Shakta Vashesh Avatar. And he had three daughters. Devuti, and then that is the daughters of Swayambhu Manu, Akuti and Prasuti. And then Devuti was married to Kardam Muni and so forth, that we have read in the third canto. So he started, so about this Brahma, who is this? How there could be Brahma, who is like Krishna comes as Brahma, and why does he come? So one is by doing Varnashram Dharma, following 100 times. But there is Ishwar Koti Brahma. Kauna kalpe yadi yogi jeev nahi paaye, apane Ishwar tabe anshe Brahma hai. So when there is no suitable jiva, because Brahma is a post and any jeev can get that post. Jiva means the soul. We are alive. Jiva means jivit. We are alive, we have symptom of consciousness because of the spirit soul. Then the srasti kari is done by Lord himself. So this is, we understand this. So that is called Ishwar Koti Brahma. Yastangri pankaj pankaj rajo akhila lokapalai morlyutta maedhrata Bhrupasita Tirtha Tirtham Brahma Bhoha Apiyasya Kalakalaya Shishcho Dvahem Chiramasya Nrapasanam Kwa. So this Baldevji is saying this, that even Lokpals, Brahma, etc., they want to take the dust on their head of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And even so much Lakshmis and Shivas, and they cannot even get it. So what he is saying, this is the place where Duryodhan and Samba, somehow he fell in love with Duryodhan's daughter, and then they all fought with Samba and defeated him and so many kings. So now Balramji is going by hearing from Narad Muni, and he goes to Hastinapur. Then he says that Yastrangri Pankaj, hey Duryodhan, that you are talking about that you have given, means he was deriding Lord Krishna, this Duryodhan, that by our position, because Hastinapur was the kingdom of, like they were ruling all over, all the kings were subordinate to them. Like when Yudhishthir Maharaj became king, then naturally Dwarka was also under them. So what he was saying, or deriding Krishna, that we have given you the position and now you are so much in ahankar. You are so much thinking yourself. But then Balramji is saying that you do not know the greatness, who is Krishna, that his dust even wants to be taken by so many Lokpals and Brahma and Shiva and so many Lakshmis. So what this Shudra Brahmand, and just a part of one of the planet on the earth, just earth planet of this universe, and you have become a king up there and you think that you are very great. So Anant Koti Brahmand, it means not only one Brahma, but all the millions and millions of Brahmas from different planetary systems, they want to take the dust and have darshan of the Lord. And you are thinking that he is an ordinary. So now, so It is just not even like a drop, and you are just so much proud of your position. So Brahma is also kalaskala, but it is like he is saying that Brahma could also be Jiva Koti Brahma and also Ishwar Koti Brahma. As the same way Rudra also. Rudra or Shiva is a name, not only name, it is a person, but Krishna takes that position for destruction. But then once it is changed, it cannot come back to Krishna. Krishna is always Krishna. But Shiva is a like Shiram Yathadati Vikara Visheshiva. When you put a little tamarind or a little acid, then the milk becomes curdled. But that cannot become milk again. But when Krishna expands as Vishnu Tattva, he could become any, whatever, as many times he comes in every day of Brahma once to this material world, and he goes and everywhere his leelas continues. But still he is the same. But Shiva cannot do that. He cannot be simultaneously in millions of places, and he cannot get back as Krishna. Although he is an expansion of Krishna and dearest devotee. So there is a bhed and abhed between Shiva and Krishna, Ansh and Anshi. So because by accepting Maya, the Lord Shiva became somewhat affected. But Krishna cannot get affected by Maya. Maya does not even come close to that. But Maya, that is Adhishtatri Devi Durga, is the wife of, so she always associates with Maya. But Krishna does not. Maya Devi is always behind, just like a shadow. And she follows the order of Krishna, that you do this, this for this jiva. So Maya is tying us like a puppet with the strings of sattva-gun, rajogun, tamogun. But she cannot act herself. She has to get the order from Krishna. And then she makes us dance. But we think that we are dancing. Prakatehi kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimuratma kartamiti manyate. We think that I am doing, but it is all done by the three gunas, and three gunas are controlled by Durga, and Durga is controlled by Krishna. So there is a hierarchy. So now how to get from this, away from this, and why we get that? There is a talk about that we become very, very fearful, and so he could not stop this. This is like talk between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. They are talking about this, but it is also from Srimad Bhagavatam, so they talk. But he could not, he wanted to tell immediately about Dhruva Maharaj. So Maitreya is telling to Vidurji, and he wanted to say about how to get out of this effects of Kali Yuga, quarrel and hypocrisy, by hearing the katha of exalted devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, so many are being described, Pratho Maharaj. So why we are all fearful? Because we know that we will fall down, we will die, and then again come back. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, very beautiful verse, on 11th canto is there, 11.237, Bhayam dityabhinive shatahasyat ishada petasya viparyayos pratihi tan mayayato buddha avajetam bhakteka yesham guru devatatma. Ishada petasya, that we have fallen from our spiritual kingdom, Ishwar se apagat. We become, we turned our face, Bhagavat Vimok. So that is because of the Maya. This happened because we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. Why I should serve Krishna? Let me become Krishna. So this Krishna is just has no body, but I have a body. So Krishna, why he cannot, he produce so many bodies? So why Krishna cannot be? So they think that God is nirakar, a blob of light. It cannot have a personality. So, and they think that we will also merge into that light, and we'll become God. So we don't have to serve the God. So they want to take, so because we forgot about Krishna, Ishat Apetasya means apagat. Apetasya means apagat, or apagat means we turn our face from Krishna. Then by the Maya, we forget about ourselves. What we forget, that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul part of Krishna, but we forget that I am this body and these senses. So we become attached to Deha and Dehik. Deha, this body, and the things related to the body, that is called Dehik. Dehik, Devik, Bhautik Tapa. Dehik means the body. Devik by the demigods. Bhautik means by this Bhutas, by different living beings. So we become attached to them. Aham Mamatvam, I and me. me and mine. So they become like this. And that's why there is a... So we have now Vayam Dvitiya Abhinaya. When we have our mentality in this mortal world, that is Dvitiya Abhinaya. Means our real, our attachment, our service, our everything should be to Krishna. What we have done in his creation in the mortal world. And that's why there is Bhaya. That Bhayashyat. Ishat Apetash Viparyo Smriti. Dvitiya Abhinaya. So Dvitiya Abhinivesh means in the mortal kingdom. That our Abhinivesh, our attachment, is in the mortal world. But how we could get them free? Tan Mayayato Buddha Abhajetam. Tan Mayayato Buddha. So, Bhakte Isham Guru Devatatma. That to thinking that Guru is sent by Krishna, he is thinking him that he is Devata, or he means we should have so much faith in the Guru. So by doing this bhakti, tam isham abhajet. Abhajet means worship him in every way, whatever is the, like navda bhakti, samyak rus abhajet means you. So because of the maya, we become forgetful of our real swarup. Jivara swarup Krishna Nitya Das, we forget. And we become attached to our body and senses. And body and senses, they deteriorate, we die, everybody knows 100% death. So naturally we become fearful that I have to give up everything. But only the way is to Bhakte Kesham Guru Deva Tatma. So we have become Ishata Petasya. So one becomes, so there are two ananda, there is a material, there is a bliss, some ananda is there. Everybody is looking for bliss, ananda. That is very much true. But one ananda is Bhagavad Sevaka ananda, ananda to serve the Supreme Lord. And then another ananda is to bring our senses in the contact with the sense objects. Indriya Traptika ananda. So people who put in their faith in Krishna and worship Krishna, then they do not think of, ultimately they would not think of their sense gratification. Because there is so much bliss and it always increases, it does not get finished. In material world, any time we enjoy our senses, then they want newer and newer. They get tired. You don't get happiness the same way as you guys start, as you got, when you start getting sense gratification. So you want some another and another, and Maya allures you, okay, there would be happiness when you have earned this much money, you have so much bank balance, you have so much big house, big car, nice children, you educate them, you have grandchildren, the happiness would come, but it never comes, it just pulls us, just like a marag marichika. So we forget about our swarup, and really our swarup is only in Bhagavad Seva that we could get that. So when he gets some happiness, he feels, I am the body, let the body be happy. So that is viparyaya buddhi. Ishat apetasya, falling into the material world, we are viparvaya. Viparvaya means that mati, that is in, should be in Krishna, our mati is intelligent, it becomes in the material world, there and dehika. I am the body and this all things related to my body, I could only get happiness with that. So this way, anitya and nitya, we forget about that. So that's why if we turn our face, we have turned our face out of Krishna. So sadhu shastra karpayadi, Krishna mukha hai, sei jiva nistare maya tahare chadaya. That jiva is, so that's why we read that, devi esha guna maya mama maya duratya. It is very difficult to cross over the material universe. But mameve prapad, mam eva, only Krishna, not demigods, not any other rishis, or not anybody, or you take shelter of not any government, or bank balance, or your position, but have surrender to the Supreme Lord. And then only you could cross over this this mortal world. Maya mukta jivir nahi, swata Krishna gyan. Jivir karpaya kaila Krishna ved puran. That maya mukta jiv cannot understand about Krishna. By themselves, they have to person who read, who has studied Ved Puran, and they know about Krishna or Bhagavatam, and then they, when they narrate, it could appeal to him much more. So for this Jiva Sudhar, Krishna has written Ved Puran, so many shastras and Bhagavatam, and also he sent so many holy places, rivers, his deity form, his expansion is his spiritual master. So these are all expansion from Krishna, and because we are children of Krishna, Krishna wants us to come. So little bit I will, that who am I? and why I have desire to enjoy this mortal body, and what is the purpose. So desires are created by contact of our senses with the objects. Dhyayate vishyan punusha, punushas teshu pajayate. When we contemplate on enjoying the objects of that, let me have the objects of the objects, get me in touch with my senses. So sense gratification or fruitive activity, fruitive result. Fruit means I work hard, I get paycheck, and I enjoy. I buy so many things, I decorate myself, buy a big house. So these are all different ways that we get allured and we get out. But for, say, you see something to eat and desire to test it, at once your intelligence decides how to get it and tells your mind what the body should do. When you get what you want, you are happy. If you can't get it, you are sad. So your desires are fulfilled through your intelligence, mind and senses. You are not your body, you are not your mind, you are not your intelligence. So your body and intelligence are your tools to help you satisfy your desires. But desire should be such that will be permanent, not a temporary desire. If we desire and get it for some time, then those things will bite us or would not give us happiness again. But the soul is looking for happiness all the time. Anandamuti Vardhanam, that ananda should increase at every step. Pratipadam, Purnamratas, then we have to test the whole nectarian ocean of the spiritual kingdom. Then only we could be satisfied. Not by living in the material world, we can be satisfied. So am I my desires? Why desires? No, desires are temporary and changing. You remain the same. Though your desires, they change. Desires develop from the contact of your senses with the sense objects. You are simply seated within your body. So soul is seated within the body. Yes, soul is desiring, but it is contaminated, it is covered. Observing the outside world through your five senses, we think that it is me, I am the senses. Senses put together makes the body. So long as you think you are your body, you will continue to strive to feel the endless desires that arise from your senses. So senses, mind, intelligence, they all produce desires. Because that is a symptom, thinking, feeling, willing, that is a symptom of the soul. If soul is there, then this will be naturally there. So hear nice music, feel a soft, warm body, see a great movie, taste a good meal, smell a fragrant flower. You are driven to satisfy endless desires, so long as you think you are your body. Your identification with your body drives you on to satisfy desires constantly. Your success or failure creates emotions such as happiness and distress in the mind. You get what your body wants. You think you are happy. You can't get what your body wants. You think you are sad. That's the body and mind, because we don't know what is, just like a child. Child, the mother gives, he may have a stomach pain and mother may think something else, he is hungry and giving more milk or some other medicines. So the same way, we don't know what we are looking for. So we look in the material world, that's what I am looking. But real we are looking, or the soul is looking, is the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in his service. Only we can be happy. So body and mind working on you. In a child's body, it is practically impossible to understand the difference between your body, your mind, and you. Your intelligence is not yet developed enough. Remember the frustrations in childhood, the tantrums, crying, fights to get what you wanted. The stronger you identify with your body, the stronger your emotions overtake you and you forget your real self. When you understand you are not your body, then bodily desires and strong emotions do not disturb you. With your intelligence, you can then decide which desires are worth fulfilling and which desires should be rejected. You are situated in your body, observing the world through your senses. In old age, sickness or injury, your body becomes unable to function at top level. Sometimes you might even lose the power to use a part of your body. You might lose your eyesight or the use of an arm or leg, but you are still existing, and your desire to enjoy still drives you on in life. Simply, sometimes people said, if I go to the forest, it would be peaceful, or if I go to secluded place or nice atmosphere or in the ocean or boating, but your mind and intelligence are with you. So they will all frustrate you wherever you go. So unless mind is controlled and put at the lotus feet of the Lord, if you go to a secluded place or some dham place, but your mind is still contemplating sense objects, you cannot be happy anywhere in the universe that you may go. So somebody may not have leg, you, but still he has a mind. So desire to enjoy, it will drive. Even somebody, like I know one boy, he was completely paralyzed, could not get up even. But then some girl was helping, a nurse was helping him, and then he made her pregnant. When said, this is nonsense completely, he had no energy, nothing, completely paralyzed, but is still calm and desire. Calm is like desires. Desire should be to satisfy Krishna, not our senses. So where does this desire to enjoy come from? Desire to enjoy comes with your body. According to the type of body you have, you desire to enjoy in certain ways. So, have you ever watched a newborn baby? Instinctively, the baby desires and enjoys eating, sleeping, loving touch and security. The baby cries if these basics are deprived. The drive for these four things come with your body from birth. So, dog will have a different desire because he is in the dog's body. Cat will have a different desire. Mouse will have a different desire and fear would be there. Minute there is the rat sees the enemy like a snake or a naturally he would or cat, he will be very much afraid. Nobody has to teach that become afraid or get out. And these instincts are still there. And people, unfortunately, they talk about loving relation between man and woman and girlfriend, and they read so much about how to produce children. But dog and cats are also producing children. They don't have to go to school. So why for that you have to waste so much of your time and your bodily energies and waste so much money in decorating and attracting the opposite sex? That's a completely nonsense. Let it be in a normal way that Krishna is created, and they all have. See, we are meant to produce Krishna conscious children. And only sex life is allowed to produce a Krishna conscious child, not for enjoying propensity. So long as you are in your body, your desire to enjoy will continue. When you leave your body, for example, when you dream at night, your body's actions are suspended. When you leave your body permanently at the time of death, your body ceases to function and begins to decompose. At that time, you separate from your present body and go somewhere else to fulfill your desire. So desires continue along with the subtle body. Your desire. So desires remain with you when you change your body. You like at night time, we sleep. Then we forget about our body, where it is lying, what is happening. But our subtle body goes somewhere to fulfill their desire. But it still has connection with the body that is lying on the bed. So desires remain with you. When you change your body, you will create a new body just able to fulfill your desire from your previous body. So you are the living force in your body. When you enter your body, it is alive. When you leave your body, it dies. When you take a new body, it is called birth. So don't you do this on a small scale every night? You go to sleep at night, leaving your tired body behind for it to work on repairs and growth. You are not aware how this maintenance work goes on in the body. We don't even know how the cells function in our body. It is all done by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So meanwhile, you have entered another subtle body to enjoy or suffer in our dreams. You have completely forgotten your body lying on the bed. When your body is ready to act, or when you forcibly re-enter your body by setting your alarm, you come back into your body and wake up. So awake, you remember all your unfulfilled desires when you are awake from the day before, waiting in the line to be satisfied. You push on, trying your best, and then end the day worn out. In this way, you have a mini birth and mini death each day and night. A good day, bad day, best day, worst day means whether your desires were satisfied or not. Oh, I had a good sleep. Because you fulfill your desires even in the dream. When your body is too worn out or unable to act anymore, your major death. So now there is a death every night when we sleep, because we don't know what is happening. So then you seek a new body. So when that there is a complete, see, this is worn out body, but body may be worn out completely. Like a shirt, you may repair like a patchwork, but one time may come that you can't repair anymore. So then we have to take a new body to fulfill our desires again unsatisfied desire. So we should not desire only Krishna, so we could elevate and not mortal desires. At the time of death, you enter a new body to fulfill your desires from your previous life, or so many lifetimes. At the time of birth, there were the basic desires born with your body. Then as you grow, more complex desires, they develop. Children has a desire, just let me eat, let me be, somebody should love me, somebody should talk to me, somebody should sit with me, somebody should embrace me. So those were basic desires, but gradually and gradually, your life becomes filled with desires and emotions resulting from your success or failure to get what you want. In confusion, you think that the goal of life is to fulfill your many desires. But there is more to that in life, you will see. So why you have desires in the first place? If I am not my body, then why do I desire to enjoy with my body? That is the basic question. That I have desire, that is true. Desire comes with the birth. But why I desire to enjoy with my body? Why that is happening? So the purpose of your existence is to enjoy. If you think you are your body, then naturally you will try to enjoy with your body. In that case, your happiness will end when your body is finished. If you understand the difference between you and your body, then you can raise that I am not this body. So you would not like to enjoy with the body or give pleasure to the body or senses. Then you can raise yourself above the desires of the body to enjoy. You can seek happiness beyond the basic desires that come with your temporary body. Now let us understand the difference between temporary desires and eternal desires. There are four basic desires of the body, that is temporary: eating, sleeping, mating, that is mating means sex or love, and defending, that is fear. So these four desires are present in every species of life, not only in human. Humans might have sophisticated ways to satisfy these desires, but the plants, amoebas, worms, bugs, beasts, all are doing the same thing, four things in their one way. So that is the basic necessities that everybody has it. But you could do this, eating, sleeping, in connection with Krishna. That comes by intelligence, that comes by connecting with the Supreme Lord, by hearing Bhagavatam. So according to the type of body you have, you will desire to eat particular things. You might be able to eat 1 kilo of food a day, but the elephant can eat 100 kilos of food in a day. So some species can enjoy eating much better than we humans. You might sleep in a soft bed for a few hours each night, but the fear can sleep, or bear can sleep in a warm cave for 6 months. He is far more capable of enjoying sleep than you. You might have had some lovers in your life. The pigeons make love at least 50 times a day, every day of the year. How does your love life compare to the sex urge of the birds? They are far more expert. So human life is given not for this beastly enjoyment, but it has been given for developing by our intelligence, is much more developed. Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha samana etat pashubhi naranam dharmo hi eko adhiko visheso dharmena hina pashubhi samana. That ahara nidra bhaya maithun, it is there in every living being. But as a human being, that we should follow what is dharma. And dharma is given in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. You may purchase the most advanced security system for your house, but just see how expert the bees and wasps are to protect their hives. They have built-in security system. You are trying to satisfy your four basic desires according to your ability, as are all creatures in this world. But if all you do in your life is to eat, sleep, mate and defend, then you are no better than birds and beasts. The other species of life are busy day and night fulfilling these four basic desires. They may struggle hard for their existence, but you as a human being can understand that there is more to life than eating, sleeping, having sex and defending. These bodily drives will not bring you lasting happiness or enjoyment. Since you are not your body, the pleasures of the body will never really satisfy you fully. Because we are the spirit soul. Soul has a different food, different requirement, connection with the Supreme Lord. These are the senses, because we identify with the senses, we think that I am the senses. And let me just gratify it. But if we put our whole faith in Krishna, so that comes by our proper desire. Why I am suffering for so long? Ultimately, if you see everybody is suffering in the material world, they would go back home, back to garden. Again and again, coming back in sansar, taking birth, again being punished in the Yamaraja's place and taking hellish lives, and so many, like you see the lower animals and birds and beasts and how fearful they are and how much that they are bitter, become food for another, their predators. So do we want to become the same or go through the same cycle? No, now we have a human life. Let us find out what is the solution to all these problems. How I could be free from this, my real problem of eating is, how our real problem is birth, death, old age and disease. How I could be free from this birth, that I don't have to take birth again and again, remain in the womb of the mother, tightly packed up. So we have to understand, who am I? If I am not my body, then why do I have a body? So right now you have a body made of earth, water, fire, air, space. That's because you have developed desires to enjoy these grass elements. When you change the matter of your desires, then your body will change accordingly. The fish enjoys swimming in the water. So if you want to surf, then swim, then become a fish. Enjoy the pig, the pig eats any rubbish. If you love to eat beyond your capacity, then why not be a pig? But the human body is meant for more responsible work. As a human being, you have refined intelligence. Intelligence means to discriminate between temporary and eternal pleasure. Only human being can decide what is temporary pleasure, what is permanent pleasure. As an intelligent person, you can understand that temporary solutions cannot solve problems. If you give a hungry man a meal today, he will come back hungry tomorrow. If you teach him how to grow his food, he can solve his own problem of the food. If the problem we are trying to solve is where to find eternal happiness, if your body is temporary, then the pleasures that come from your body are also temporary. You are eternal, you do not die when your body dies. You simply go on to another body according to your desires. Now, if you could rise above temporary bodily desires and discover where eternal pleasure is, then you can get an eternal body. And that is what is the purpose of this human life, to get an eternal body who could serve the Supreme Lord. So what is eternal pleasure? So temporary pleasures, you know, this, all the material pleasures are flickering. They are there for just like a lightning. They go away and they cannot satisfy you. So what is the eternal pleasure? And where we can find that? So eternal pleasure means unending happiness beyond the temporary body. Since the pleasure for the body means eating, sleeping, mating and depending, let us say that eternal pleasure means all of the four things unlimitedly. That means we can eat, sleep, love and live without fear forever. Such a place is actually what we are looking for, the place where love goes on unending. Where trees yield unlimited fruits and where enemies don't exist, that is where you belong to. Because our desires are there. See, desires or dream cannot happen unless we have seen or realized, or unless we know that. Like say sometime there is a gold mountain. So Prabhupada says that you have seen gold and you have seen a mountain. So you may combine. But desires or dreams cannot happen what we have not seen or experienced in our previous many, many lifetimes. So we want something eternal happiness, but we are looking at a wrong place. How do I get to that place of eternal pleasure? When you want to go somewhere, you first need to find out where that place is. You must study the route to get there, like we see Google and then go out to the maps. For such a special place, you also must qualify to go there. Just like you need a passport and visa for some places, for such a wonderful place, you must qualify to enter. So we should engage in Vaidhi Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti, to qualify to go back home, back to Godhead. You must become free from the lower bodily desires that keep you bound to this world of changing bodies. You must firmly understand that you are not this changing body. You are the self within the body, free from the designations of your present body. Designation means I am a man, woman, rich, poor, Indian, American. These are all avaran or covers. That is not actually the soul is. You are eternal, and the only place you will be fully satisfied is in an eternal body, free from the miseries of repeated birth and death. When you understand your true nature, then gradually you can develop your eternal body and enter into the realm of eternal pleasure. This takes certain time. So our eternal body, what it is made of? It's made of this. It does not decompose or grow old. It is eternally young. So free from disease and old age. Secondly, it is not ignorant, so there would be full knowledge. It would be this eternal Sat, Chit and Ananda. We are made of Sat. Sat means eternality. Chit means knowledge. So you are in full knowledge of your body, of yourself in your eternal body. You don't forget, cheat, fall into illusion or make mistakes. These are the four things that everybody in this life is there, that we forget. We cheat, we have cheating tendency, you fall into illusion, like rassi mein saap ka dekhna ya jhaad ko bhoot samajh lena, that is all illusion, and we don't make mistakes, we forget. So third, it is composed of pleasure energy. So like Radha Rani is the pleasure potency, Radha's tummy is coming, so she is the topmost who gives pleasure, the topmost pleasure to Shiva, to Lord Krishna. And so by following that footsteps, then we can also please Krishna, just by following their footsteps. So you experience no misery because you no longer misidentify with the grass mortal body that must grow old and die. So how do I qualify? So to qualify that, so at least this fourth thing that Prabhupada is beautifully put, not Prabhupada, but even before that, that don't eat products of slaughterhouses, meat, fish, eggs, do not take intoxicants, alcohol, you depress yourself and you do not differentiate what is eternal, what is temporary. So if you, those four things, do not gamble, you should use wisely for beneficial and uplifting welfare activities. Gambling means cheating, because you can't win at gambling unless you cheat. You should be honest and straightforward in all your relations in the world. This will be free from unlawful behavior, and abstain from sex unless you want a child. Sex is the highest pleasure in the material world. It is the strongest binding, maithunagar, factor to the bodily concept of life. Sex pleasure on the bodily platform is like a drop of water in the desert compared to the unlimited love in the eternal world. So it is that calm is like change into love. Calm and love, they look similar outwardly, but it is big difference is there. One is to satisfy their own senses, and that is calm, and satisfy the Krishna senses, that is lust. That is means watering the root of everything. Root cause, sarva karana karanam, is Krishna. If we satisfy him, we are his limbs and we become automatically happy. So one may say that, oh, we have to give up our all these four highest pleasures in life in exchange for something that we are not sure that it exists, means eternal pleasure, where does it exist? Unending love sounds like a dream. So can I experience eternal pleasure now? Yes, you can. Yes, you can test to make sure this is not a make-believe promise to get out to stop smoking and drinking. But first you will need a little help to cut your attachment to your body. Remember the process, how your senses send impressions to the mind and your intelligence and directs the mind to get what it wants. The mind acts as a pivot between the intelligence and the senses. If the mind connects to that place of eternal pleasure, then you can experience that pleasure within yourself. To do this, you will require something that frees the mind from its connection to the five bodily senses. Say bodily senses are eye, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. So there are special sound vibrations called mantras that can do this. Man means mind, and the tra means to free from free the mind from this lower pleasure. So there is one simple mantra you can use to experience a state of freedom from bodily miseries. And so please chant these 16 words and try to hear the words as you chant. This mantra will free your mind and take you to that place where you belong, the realm of eternal pleasure. Chant this transcendental sound vibration to experience eternal pleasure. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you so much for giving so much time. So how to control, how to get our eternal pleasure, that's what these pages of Bhagavatam are teaching us. Hare Krishna, you can unmute, and if there is any comments, comment, questions, we can do.
Hare Krishna, Pranam, Vashishya, Prabhupada, and Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, and very much love with you.
So, Prabhuji, they said the Maya was born to the, like, and irreligion. So, Prabhuji, also Yoga Maya. So, what is the difference between this Maya and the Yoga Maya and Mahamaya? See, because Yoga Maya is the sister of Krishna.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And So she is called Yoga Maya. Right? And okay. Maya is also called like cheating. Illusion and cheating.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And who is the like Parvati or Sati we learned last chapter. So is there any connection between them? Like for Sati also we call Maya Devi. His wife of Lord Shiva we call Maya Devi.
Right.
So what is the connection of all of them, Prabhuji?
Okay, that's a good question. Let me just try to clarify in few words. So Yog Maya and Mahamaya are Durga or Sati or whatever form. There are so many Chamunda and Kaila Devi and so many names that you could give, and their names were blessed by Lord Krishna when she did a function for the Supreme Lord and she was born. So not only Yashoda's daughter is also, initially she was born as Yog Maya, but in the hands of demons she changes into Mahamaya. Mahamaya eludes us into the material world, pulls us, okay, you come and enjoy me, or enjoy my form, or enjoy the worldly things. So she tempted us. And Yog Maya helps in the pastimes of the Lord. So Lord himself forgets that he is the Supreme Lord. Whatever he desires, the Yog Maya arranges. But makes him like, see, if I want to enjoy like a paternal love, then he becomes like a child. He forgets that I am the Supreme Lord. Although sometimes this Yog Maya works, but he does not know that he is the Supreme Lord. He's, like when he was, Brahma was trying to put an illusion on the Supreme Lord, like he stole these things. Then Krishna's Yoga Maya helped him in getting all this, becoming all the children, and they become like Krishna became all those, the calves and cows and the clothing and Venu and Vetra and their clothing and their food and everything he became. So Yoga Maya comes and helps, but sometimes the Krishna does not know that it is happening, because if he knows, how he could enjoy the relationship? If somebody knows like that he is the like controller of all the universes, and then somebody is a father, how I could have a father? I am the one who is creating everybody. See, the Yog Maya makes Krishna forget and have a very close union. So Yog Maya is in the spiritual kingdom, and even here also when Krishna comes and she unites the devotees and Krishna, and in a different mellows, and that is all done by Yog Maya. But if you are in the material world, oh, let me enjoy, why I should serve Krishna, let me serve my senses, I am the senses, then Mahamaya comes, okay, Elur, just see whether you can enjoy. But ultimately when you are frustrated, so one should feel frustration in the material world. One should feel that this is not the place for a gentleman. Let me get out of this. Until that comes, and you, dukkha doshana darshanam, Brahma bhuvana loka, that from Brahma loka to the lower patal, there is suffering. We should feel that. We should, not only by seeing others, but seeing our own life and desire that. So whatever you desire means thinking, then that will happen. So we should desire Krishna, an eternal pleasure, not a temporary pleasure. So the difference between Yog Maya, it is the same energy, but in the hands of the demonic people or materialistic people, it is Mahamaya. In the hands of Krishna and devotees, it is Yog Maya. Like hands of Kansa, the same daughter, and it's not only sister of Krishna, Subhadra Devi, but also she's sister of Krishna that was born to Yashoda Mai, or Purnamasi, or... So they are all Yog Mayas. Who assist? Even Vrinda Devi also assist. So they also, there are, in so many ways, whoever is assisting, that is all Yog Maya. And who are distracting is Mahamaya. From Krishna, or Krishna's service, or from our eternal nature. Our eternal nature is to enjoy, but where to? That intelligence is not in us. It has to come from outside. Nakte Kesham Guru Devatatma. Accepting the Guru as the Ishwar and then serving him, that will make you realize that I am not the body. Bhayam Dhitya Vinivesat Shyat. We read that verse. So, Maya Mukta Jivir Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan. We cannot have Krishna Gyan by ourselves because we are covered. Jivir Krapaya Kaila Krishna Veda Puran. That for the mercy. He is telling this, narrating all this Ved Puran. And whoever gives us this knowledge, then naturally he should be served. So I am not this body, but I am spirit soul, part of Krishna. So that one who realizes that is Yogamaya. And when we want to forget, that is Mahamaya. Same energy. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, expert electrician can, electric power can be make us cool or make us hot also. Could give heat and cold. Same thing, same energy, that is the, that could give Krishna pleasure and Jiva pleasure, connection of Krishna to the Jiva soul. So Krishna could enjoy, we could enjoy, that is Yoga Maya. And Maya, if we want that illusion, that is Mahamaya.
Okay. Yes. Yes, Prabhuji, thank you very much. And I have one more question.
You said
Bhakti was born in South India and she traveled to North and she was going weaker. So why she was born in South India, Prabhuji?
No, why? Because they were practicing, they were following Vedas more more prominently, because, and that's why she was born there. See, birth would be like Krishna would come in a devotee family. So now the same way Bhakti Devi was, it is just, it's not Bhakti is there all throughout. Like Krishna is born just 5,000 years ago, but that does not mean he was born. He just came by his free will. So Bhakti is also born. It is given in the Bhagavat Mahatmya that she was born in Dravid Desh. She came to Andhra Pradesh, went to some Maharashtra, went to Gujarat. She felt very weak and tired, and her sons completely lost their consciousness. They become unconscious, and then she heard about Vrindavan, so she came to Vrindavan. And that's where the Bhagavatam, that is all the, like how the Bhagavatam evolved, how Bhagavatam came, how we should hear, why we should hear, how the Jnana and Raga become enlivened, and Bhakti Devi also. So we could follow. It is just the Mahatmya. Just like by hearing all the bad names that we read in the third verse, then one comes. So I did not really, I read only up to 6 verse. I was planning to read 7th and 8th verse also. But they are just simple, because tomorrow I told that somebody could start from the text number 9. So if you have just 2 minutes, I could read, because I think you may have advertised that from 9th verse. So this next verse is text number 7, is Swayambhu Manu had 2 sons and wife Satrupa, and names of the sons were Uttanapad and Vrivat, because both of them were descendants of a plenary expansion of Vasudev, the supreme personality of Godhead. They very, very competent to rule the universe, to maintain and protect the citizen. The next verse, King Uttanapad had 2 queens, Suniti and Suruchi. Suruchi was much more dear to the king, and Suniti, who had a son named Dhruva, was not his favorite. So how the so the example of Dhruva Maharaj austerities can immediately generate a feeling of devotional service in the heart of the hearts, that how such a little boy could obtain Krishna within 6 months. I could also do it. So that's why there is a narration of Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, so okay, go ahead, your other question.
Prabhuji, is there any specific reason why Maitreya Muni described the descendants of a religion before describing Dhrumara's pastime?
That's what this also is saying, that if you read this, then you will get disgusted. After describing the impious descendants of Adharma, Maitreya is now eager to describe the pious activities of Dhruva Maharaj, the most pious king. So by this, I have this polished truthi describe the cause of destruction. Pratisarga, one who hears this description 3 times, attains piety, punyam, and washes off the sinful contamination, voluntary, like vidunoti. Vidunoti means cleanses. Atmano malam, the mal what is there. So because this is pages of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, you hear any such activity also, it is pages of Bhagavatam where Krishna is there. Krishna entered into the pages of Bhagavatam by all the energy and personality. By hearing this, you will feel disgusted. Like somebody describes about a movie, it's so bad, it is does this. You would not go to that place. So when we hear about all this fearful and so much narka and all this, naturally, you may say, why there is description of 28 times of Narak, hellish planet. But it has to be there to warn us that what would be the result of not acting properly according to the Vedic injunction. So these are there for some certain reason, because they are in the Bhagavatam, we should relish those. Not to fall prey to that, but to rise our above that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions?
Sure. I mean, in the previous question that Mataji asked about Yoga Maya, Maha Maya, and the Maya that was described here in this particular few verses. This Maya is just the activity of cheating, right? It is nothing to do with Mother Parvati or Yoga Maya, right? Is that correct?
No. It has to do. There are only two Maya. Not what is described here. That is described here is Mahamaya or Durga. She binds us. All this cheating, etc., happens because of the Mahamaya. And why Mahamaya comes? You want to enjoy, that is your desire? Then do this. Don't take Krishna consciousness. Just enjoy. And you will see the result yourself.
So then here the Maya, it was described that Maya was born to religion, but actually Parvati Devi was born to, Sati was born to Daksha, and then after that to Himavan and all, right? So can you explain that?
This is just the birth in the material world, but these are all eternal beings. You cannot say Krishna was born means he was not there before. Some people, they say that Ram was before because he was there 2 million years ago and Krishna came only 5,000. So Ram is bigger. Ram is the elder. Ram is the greatest. But Krishna is eternal. All these things are eternally there. Saraswati and Durga, and they are not temporary of the material world. So they come, and that is described in the pages. So she could take birth as a sin personification or Kali. So we should not feel why these are there and they are. So they are not eternal birth. That is just a temporary, they take shelter. But you had so many mothers and fathers.
Yes.
Does it mean that you are just born now? And that's when we come into problem. Egg came first or the chicken came first? Or because tal and crow, nyai, what is that one fruit fell because the crow flew there. But it could have flew just because of the air or wind or. So we just discuss all those things like, how did I come to this ocean and drowning? First tell me, then only I will get out. Try to get out from here and then forget about how did you come to that way. Then you could ask afterwards, but first try to save yourself. So we should not all indulge in these things, what happened or how it happened. We have to know the eternally Durga is the assistant or keep the jivi souls in the material world. Until they take to the shelter, Devi Esha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. Mama Eva Ye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. Let you surrender to Krishna and you could be free.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada.
Yes, Mataji.
So, Prabhu, like when you said about like Parvati Devi is Mama Maya, right? So, and when we surrender to Krishna, then she will help us to go back to Godhead?
Right. She will come as Yoga Maya. Same Parvati would help us in going that now you are not eluded by me. You have given up all this sense enjoying propensity. So do go to Krishna. She will help us in going to Krishna. You could go and worship Durga in the mood just like Katyayani was worshipped by
Gopi.
Or Rukmini ji, or Rasani, just to get Krishna, not for material pleasure.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's the end of discussion.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Prabhu.
Thank you, very nice discussion. regarding this yoga maya and mahamaya, one point I wanted to share. Okay.
Okay, Maharaj, go on.
Like in Lord Krishna speaks to yoga maya that you take birth as a daughter of Yashoda Maya and Nanda Maharaj, although you will remain, but you will not associate with me. You will remain like abhyakta. So Yogamaya is always like assisting the Lord in his pastimes. Then Krishna also places her that in the material world you will be known by so many names like Durga, Chandi, different things. And you will bless and many people will become Shakta. And those who worship will be called Vaishnava. So this arrangement is there. And now, so Anshabhuta, that there is the Yoga Maya's Anshabhuta is Mahamaya. And it we know that Brahma Samhita describes Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhan Shakti Rekha Chai Vaishya Bhunani Vibhati Durga. Now, Prabhuji's question was that, as you described in the beginning, that the Maya became the daughter or the progeny of someone. So this Anshabhuta we have to understand. So the Yurga Anshabhuta, you know, most of the time it remains unmanifest. So when they become manifest, then sometimes they are described as Maya took the birth and the Adharma and all these things, you know. So these aspects of material Anshabhuta of the spiritual energy, Yoga Maya, they are manifest in the world to capture and allure all of us. And so it's a simultaneous role as you described. It's the same energy, but manifesting, sometimes in the taking the form as a person, but most of the time remaining abhyakta, but causing its influence. So that way we can appreciate in Srimad Bhagavatam when certain personalities are given the nomenclature or the personality. So that way there is no conflict, as you said, Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Yeah, thank you, Guru Maharaj. It was a very nice lecture, and especially about the mind control.
For your journey, I'm so happy, and I'm looking forward to see you. But I have a lot of cough, cold, bronchitis, like, and I hope that I could recover by the time I come. But whatever way, I will come anyway. But I have fever and taking some antibiotics also at this time. But hopefully I will recover.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'll talk to you after this call.
Okay. So should we end now? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for taking your time and giving us your valuable association and so wonderful class. Thank you so much. If nobody has any question or comment for Prabhuji, we can end the call. Does anybody has any question for Prabhuji? Okay, let us end the call. Vancha Kalpatru Bhishya Kripa Sindhu Vaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.